Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
Ladies and gentlemen, fans of the DC Universe, I am coming to you from sliding and crashing off the streets of Gotham because I was voted by the PlayStation 4 community the worst pilot of a Batmobile, now, present, or future. I'm Adam Gertler.
I'm Roxy Stryer. Nice intro.
Do not adjust your monitors. Do not suspect that the acid you took was bad. Put the landline down. Sit down. You are seeing truth for the first time ever in the same room. And by room, I'm defining a space enclosed by four walls. Four walls? Do we call the things on the top walls?
Ceilings?
No, those are ceilings.
Yep.
And the walls on the bottom are floors. Woo-hoo! For the first time in the same room, I would like to present Mr. Mike Kalinowski!
Hey! Victory shoulders.
And look at this. If there was ever a doubt that we were so in sync, so in tune in our DC brotherhood, even though this is the very first meeting between the two of us, he dresses as Bruce Wayne, and I show up as Dick Grayson!
No planning done there whatsoever.
No planning done? Nope. I've never even seen you before
I've been on the show before. This first time wearing the shirt on the show, too.
Ninth time I wore this shirt. It's my favorite shirt.
Okay, to the people out there who think you're the same person, it still possible? Maybe we're doing sort of a split screen.
Not an effect.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nope.
I don't know.
We don't have the budget for that kind of effect. This isn't Game of Thrones. I can't put my head on Roxy's topless body and walk down the aisle.
You might be able to. You really might. I have faith in you.
Anyway, I'm finally breaking myself away from the PS4. A lovely goddess and angel sent me a special edition Arkham Knight PS4.
I
took it out. I mean, it's like I've never even had one of these things before, and it comes with Batman. And then it's got a Batman decal on it, so every time I'm playing, I'm looking at Batman looking down at me.
Excuse me. Most importantly, we have our friend Johnny Laquasto in the chat right now who says,
"What?
God damn, these two are adorable." I'm a little upset that I wasn't included in the adorable count.
You're always getting all the adorable comments.
I want it adorable. I need it. I need the confidence booster. Come on, guys. Show me the love.
Oh, my goodness. So, I'm pulling myself away from the PS4. I am the world's worst pilot at the Batmobile.
Is anyone good at piloting that thing?
Oh, my God. Have you tried it?
I've been playing for about 3 days now.
Okay.
And
I'm getting the hang of it. Well, you know what was cool is, like, this is what I love about the game. They give you a mission,
right?
And then they give you the mission where, like, all right, now we're going to teach you how to drive it now.
Yeah.
Like, so I was dying by using the Batmobile, and then it was only when I had to do, like, the systems diagnostics thing that I realized that I could move in battle mode. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Moving in battle mode?
Right.
I can move in battle mode. That's why I'm not getting killed. Now I'm messing people up.
I like how they don't do an Assassin's Creed where it's 9 hours of tutorials, and then you get to the mission. They're kind of, you just put you in it,
well,
and you kind of get the feel going along.
And in the first couple of Arkham games, which I did play, I got the last Xbox I got just to play the two Arkham games. And they take you to, but every time I forget and, like, I get rusty. I haven't played a game in, like, a year, and like, I'm running around the Batmobile. Anyway, that's what's on our mind. We're so excited. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, my friend. Thank you for having me.
I can't believe I'm here to witness this moment. Okay, here's the thing, though, guys. You guys at home have been so great about giving us feedback via YouTube and iTunes and everywhere else you talk to us. We really appreciate it. Now we have one more place we are asking you to go. It's podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com to fill out a survey about us, basically telling us how much you love us, how much you hate us, what we can improve on, what we're doing great. It takes about 3 minutes. We really, really appreciate it. It helps us out and it helps us better these shows. So that's podcastone.com. Go there, fill out the survey, and thank you in advance.
El podcast número uno.
That was good.
Very
that
nice.
Was one of your better,
very nice.
Better voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's that. That's podcast one. So should we jump into the news?
Let's get into it.
I feel like a virgin at this. I'm so nervous. I'm so thrown.
I'm kind of being put off here. I was like, finally got my groove with the two of you guys, and now I'm like,
I'm
nervous now.
Wait,
all right,
like a virgin at the news, or
some
Madonna?
Okay,
I see what just happened.
So. Green Lantern talk. A lot of Green Lantern talk. Collider's got a lot of things that they're reporting on.
Again.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure where they're getting these stories.
Don't really care. You know, happy to talk about it.
Does this count as spoilers? Is Johnny going to freak about spoilers?
No, this is not a spoiler. Okay. No, just the idea. This is the multiple Green Lantern theory.
Okay.
We're going to talk about this one first. This is just the idea. This is something we've been talking about since our very first episode. I've always said that the idea of doing a space buddy cop movie, Green Lantern kind of movie, is probably the way to go.
Right.
Because how many just, like, new superhero origin, like, start to finish can you keep doing?
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
But you talked about two, and now we're hearing, yes, probably two, but maybe even three.
Three Earth Lanterns, which I think is interesting. Have you heard about this?
It seems like it's all kind of, like, nebulous, everything, just throwing everything out there. But, I mean, like, does that go against with, you know, one per sector, if they stick to that? But, hey, this is their
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's the idea of one per sector, but, like, you know, one can come in from outer space. I mean, what I've always thought that the way to introduce the core in these new films was, I mean, I don't know if they'll do this or not, but, like, end of Justice League 1, when even the Justice League's ass is kicked, and then it's like, oh no, now comes the core. Like, this, I just foresee this epic one-upsmanship of threats and counter-threats. You know, it's like, there's a threat, Aquaman's a bad guy, but now Aquaman's on this, on the force of good, but now, you know, the threats become cosmic, and it's Apocalypse and Darkseid, and it's like, you know, now we got the Galactic Police Force coming in, like, just escalating and escalating and escalating.
Right, yeah. And it's got to build a two-part Justice League movie, so... And they haven't, he's like the last that they've talked about with casting, so I think maybe we'll get a little bit in.
Well, this is interesting. To segue into what you're talking about, so the idea is that we're going to get a Guy Gardner, you know, attitude, goofball, comic relief. You get your John Stewart, which is great. He's been played different ways, but like in the animated series, very stern, very sort of like military. And then Hal Jordan, you're kind of like vanilla, just like, I'm the good guy, kind of good guy, you know?
Is anybody thinking it's too soon to see him on screen again?
No.
Well, I mean, look, I've always been a fan of doing the buddy cop thing, meaning, like, I want John Stewart and then maybe a guy or John Stewart and a Hal. You know, I just want that, like, classic Lethal Weapon kind of, like, comedy, but set, you know, done, like, in a global space thing.
So because it's not him by himself, you're okay with the fact that we're seeing him again?
Yes, because that just feels like it would be, you know, not just, like, rehashing the same thing. I just want to see different kinds of movies. Like, Suicide Squad seems like a different kind of movie from what Batman v Superman is, and then the Wonder Woman seems like it could be a different kind of movie, and you know, Aquaman could be a very different kind of movie, and like, you know, we want to see a lot of variety.
Got it.
I don't think they need to do I'm not to pull from Marvel's book, but just do an Incredible Hulk Mark Ruffalo thing where it was a different actor. You kind of at the beginning you get a little bit of the story of how he gets the ring, but you just go off, it's a different actor, it's Hal.
I think introducing the core that way is you know, in another movie, I think it's got to be, because you're not going to wait till, like, 2020 for the Green Lantern movie?
Or was it 19?
Is it 19
that,
or 20?
Like, that and Cyborg in the same year, the last group of the films. So.
Yeah. So, you know, 19, clearly they're 20. Not waiting that long before we see an Emerald Ring.
Yes.
I got to think that. But now here's the interesting rumor. The name Chris Pine has been bandied about.
Oh, yeah.
Almost as a sure thing. It's like a Steve Trevor kind of thing.
Right.
And people were cool with it, right? But now... there's this rumor that they're flipping the script, and he's actually going to be your new Hal Jordan.
Well, what we're hearing is that the rumors that he was in Wonder Woman were never actually, in fact, that he was in Wonder Woman, and that some wires got crossed somewhere, and he was always in talks be in this.
Or they were intentionally crossed because they want to throw people off the trail.
So you're pulling a Johnny Swerve over there.
You know what?
Johnny Swerve.
Johnny LaCosta, I'm pulling a Johnny Swerve. Because here's the thing. These just sound like rumors, but... we're almost in July. Comic-Con happens in July. We all know that DC Warner Brothers are going to really put their cards on the table at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, it's going to be a really, really bad news week for them July 12th. You know what I mean? They have a lot to do. So having the Justice League on stage would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially because it's my birthday, so I really want to see something.
Wait,
awesome.
July
13th, so July leading 13th. Up to this would be a really nice lead up to the birthday.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And Comic-Con is what, the 8th to the 11th?
9th to the 12th.
9th to the 12th, okay.
Yeah.
So very excited. But then that also begs the question, as I said it, if that's your Justice League, does that mean only one Lantern would be in the Justice League?
It always seems that there's always one at a time in the league.
Yeah.
And because people are already talking about it being so crowded and these movies being so crowded, I think that...
I don't... When they talk of the crowded this and that, I don't subscribe to that theory if it's too crowded. I just, you know, yeah, not everyone gets the limelight every scene. Right. But,
well, so, Bruce, you know, as I am your ward and your protege, I am want to agree with you.
There we go.
See? That's what Bruce taught me.
So if it is Chris Pine.
Too crowded if it's done well.
If it is Chris Pine, then would he be the one? We would have to assume.
Oh, I would.
I mean, you know, if there's a fire where these rumors are there and smoking, then I would say, yeah, then he's the guy that's going on stage, not your Jon Stewart. I don't know. Very interesting. Very interesting. But that would be really bold.
But all this stuff is starting to come out again, and we're coming up to this big build-up at Comic-Con.
And you know what? For all the speculation, I really hope we're really surprised about whatever happens. You know, like,
absolutely.
As much as I want to know, I want to not know.
No, I hate the surprise. I want to know every little bit and every piece.
What do you think of Chris Pine stepping into a role like this? Captain Kirk, too similar? What do you think?
They're trying to make him that leading man. They're putting him in every franchise. It was like that Sam Worthington from years ago. Like, they just stuck him in everything. But I like Chris Pine. I think he's a great character. He said a great line one time. He was talking to his agent about doing Star Trek, and there was and some good friends of his and directors, and it came down to he is a leading man stuck in a character man's body, a character actor stuck in a leading man's body.
Absolutely.
And so
Absolutely.
He stretches, and but studios want that look. That's Hal Jordan. He could be
because he mm-hmm. looks super dreamy and sexy.
Talented.
Yeah,
I have no problem with it being too similar. I think that he is great. I think he would do an absolutely fantastic job.
Say this, he brings enough. Yes, he's like Ryan Reynolds in that he's a white actor, you know, in his 30s. But he's got a difference. He doesn't have that Ryan Reynolds kind of
goofiness
about him. He's more of like that cocky Tom Cruise, Top Gun.
Right.
I think Hal Jordan, that's what I think of, like Maverick.
Yeah, it's
like
exactly. Well, that's really cool. I love that Maverick comparison. I love his Kirk, too. I'm not mad at it because I feel like they kind of dropped the ball with the Star Trek franchise. Like, they just didn't have a plan.
It's like, are we going to take the training wheels off it? And here we go.
I don't know what happened, but they lost heat. They waited too long for the sequel. It was all right. It wasn't enough to recapture it. Now they're doing the third one.
Right.
I think that's why DC and Warner Brothers and a lot of these studios right now are really taking their time and saying, we're thinking franchise, so we have to think 10 years down the road.
Yeah, smart.
We need to know when we're going into production on these things. We need to have an outline of where we're going to go, what kind of story we want to tell. I think this guy's great. And I think he would be great as Hal Jordan, but I don't want him just in a solo Hal Jordan Green Lantern movie.
Just think about that right now. It's like, okay, so we have him, big established star, but then we have Ezra Miller and, Ray Fisher for Cyborg, two actors most of us don't even know.
Yes.
And they've signed them to picture deals, so it's this was weird that maybe they feel like we need
a little bit of a name
to get going with Lantern just to kind of cover our bases with what we have in the past.
It's really interesting. I mean, we don't know anything about the cast, but I got to assume that there will be some big names in the supporting cast of Cyborg and Flash.
Right, yeah.
And other Warner Brothers DC characters showing up as well. Like, you know, don't tell me that you're not going to see a scene where Henry Cavill shows up and like, all right, little boy, you want a foot race?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do this, you know?
Yeah, and I do feel like we have a lot of big names across the board. Of course, we've got Ben Affleck, but all of them, Jason Momoa, he's coming in really hot. So that they are there. But it is interesting. Maybe that is why they picked
him. He seems like, of all of those, the big name, aside from Affleck. He's the big one.
I mean, Will Smith in Suicide Squad, but he's a name bigger than his role.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
But you're absolutely right. Yeah, Affleck is going to tell. Speaking of Batfleck, shall we talk about this next?
Just get right into this, man.
Very exciting thing. Obviously, there's no Batman fans at this table.
Look at that grin on him. Look at him.
So now, this is pretty much this next rumor, again, just a rumor, but gaining heat, and again, could be a Comic-Con announcement if they're going to do it. This would be the time. A lot of people have suspected and hoped since this was announced, since Ben Affleck's involvement in the DC Universe was announced, that he would step into the director's chair. And now that rumor is gaining momentum. Not only that, but Chris Terrio, who we brought onto Batman v Superman and has made me most excited about that film, is going to be the guy to pen it. And will Affleck direct it?
Everybody talks about the fact that when Affleck's on set, even if he isn't the director, he's directing anyway. So we might as well officially make him the director of the movie.
But he's a good director.
He's a really good director.
Roxy just threw Affleck under the bus a little bit.
I didn't mean to. I'm just saying that that's what people say when he's on set. And I think he's fantastic. I love him. I've followed his career forever.
Yeah, I do too.
Make him the director of the movie.
And wasn't that the talk early on? Like, I think Warner Brothers had to sweeten him a little bit at the beginning. Because even said after Daredevil, I was like, nope, never putting on another thing again, you know, after that. I think they said, because they loved Argo, that was for them. I think Gone Girl? The Town. Oh. Was that? I don't know if it was worth Warner Brothers or not, but again, that was
sure.
great.
Yeah.
So we had all these great films, and Warner Brothers, we want, so, all right, be our Batman in this, you know, do it. We'll let you, full slate, you know, project you want to do to direct.
Yeah.
I think that was, he's going to be directing a lot
more. So you think this was there from the beginning?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. Like, hey, I'll
carved
do this,
out.
And I'll be Batman, but I want to be able to direct what I want to direct.
That's so exciting. I mean, because the reason that excites me is because, again, this is just like we were kind of talking about with Star Trek. If that's been in the plan for already 2.5 years, like, listen, it's taken us a long time to get these movies going, but maybe there is a plan. Maybe when these movies start coming, we're going to be excited.
He's not like he was 10 years ago. He was just signing up for movies because he wanted a big name. And he knows. He's like, okay, what if this doesn't work, but I still want to have my directing. I want to, because this is what I'm doing now.
You look like you're about to say something.
A couple things in the chat just wanted to share. So Malcolm the Great says, if he is directing on set, then I'm more optimistic about BVS. That's an interesting point. How do you guys feel about that?
Oh, the people who don't like Snyder might be happy with that.
Or could it be too many cooks?
We've never talked before.
No.
I think Snyder is a feast for the eyes.
And I'm on board with this stuff.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love watching it. I love watching Watchmen. I always say about Watchmen, I'm like, if you weren't a big fan already, it's probably not going to make you the biggest Watchmen fan, but it's really cool seeing that stuff realized. So if you have someone that knows his character work, like Affleck, you know, experienced actors like Cavill, like... The biggest concern was not in his directing, it was the script.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so excited about Chris Terrio's involvement.
Exactly.
And now it sounds like he's a through line to that. Oh, dang!
That's what I'm talking about.
No, he's a through line to Chris Terrio through line!
It's really
it's
good.
Always like the ragging on Snyder in his movies, and this has like, but it comes down to the script. He's visually amazing.
Amazing.
So you've got the script direct, and everyone's like, well, Argo, he just did one film, and that's his first.
Like to spend so much time in Misery, Bruce?
I was like, I don't know.
Why do they love to watch?
He's the wrong
there.
Person to ask. You can't ask Bruce that.
That happened years ago, and I've been able to get over it.
Another thing coming from the chat, Retrobat says, Affleck is an even better director than actor, great at both, but no one better to direct it than Batfleck himself. What do you guys think about that?
Well said to that right there.
I like
friend.
It. I appreciate
that.
It.
Very good.
Who is that said that?
Now I'll go back and find him. Retrobat.
Retrobat.
Hey, Retrobat, there it is.
Good name.
Doing his job.
And then Joffrey Baratheon says, since Affleck is from Boston, I want to hear Batfleck say, hey, Robin, get your bat car. I'm also from Boston, so does that help you a little bit?
If that is ever said,
get your bat car.
It would be really hard to recover from that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it'd be a really strong choice. It's a character choice, you know?
You know, I've kept trying to convince people at some point this is going to be released, but there is a picture of me in the Batfleck Batmobile.
Really?
I got to go see it when it was like in storage here before they even used it on set.
Are you
before it even left California?
Are you full of crap right now?
I'm not full of crap. I have a piece of the actual Batmobile, a little cog in my car. I've had it for 2 years.
Have you told us this?
Yeah, I a picture was taken with me. They won't let me have it yet. The guy who works there was a friend of a friend who let me see. He's like, look, let me show you what we're working on. I saw the Batmobile. I've mentioned this before.
I'm really proud of you.
I saw the thing. I sat in it before Ben Affleck did. That's a fact.
That's pretty
awesome. Okay? And at some point, we'll see that picture, but it'll be less special because it'll be, you know...
Nah, but still,
you know,
that's
not special. But it exists. So I've been in that mobile, and all I want to say is I was better at sitting in that one than I am driving the PS4 one, because I was not just crashing. It was just destroying Gotham.
Anyway, visual image in my mind right now is good.
So speaking of the world of the Bat, which is a place I'm always happy to talk about a year ago almost, there was a kind of heavily rumored that Jeffrey Dean Morgan might be returning to the Snyder DC universe as Thomas Wayne, because there was a photo of Thomas Wayne seen on set. You could see it right there. And then just the other night, yeah, it's a great stash. I love this guy. He's a great actor. Magic City, Watchmen. He was so great in Watchmen.
It was.
He kicked ass in Watchmen.
Losers.
I don't think it's that strong of a stash.
What? The one on the painting?
Yeah.
The one in the actual painting, not the
real
life.
Oh, the painting.
Look at that thing.
Attractive scrub. He have a possum on his upper lip over there.
Oh, yeah.
So he was on Jimmy Kimmel the other night, and he was like, yeah, I guess it does look like me, huh? Well, I guess you're going to have to see the movie.
Wink, wink.
Which is kind of like what Momoa did when he was on, like, months ago. He's like, I don't know, that would be kind of cool.
And I love how like the Marvel guys, when they get stuff, they're like, oh, nope, are the snipers around? I can't say this stuff.
Yeah.
And all the DC guys are like, Maybe it is. What maybe are you going
to
do?
Rock's like, I don't know. Shazam could be coming out tomorrow. You're just going to have to show up and see the theater. Yeah, I'll be in some movie. Just keep going until it's Shazam.
What's cool about King of the Swerve, it makes perfect sense, is the fact that that painting, it looks like he's in the 70s right there. Like, that's like Thomas Wayne in the 70s, the kind of the Jack the Turtleneck. It looks like a 70s picture, which would make Affleck a 40-ish Batman right now, which I think is
makes perfect sense.
And if you look at the fact, which happened with different Wayne Thomas Waynes before, they never really look like Bruce as they got older. Like, the guy that played in Batman
Five?
Begins.
Yes.
He was kind of a smaller guy. Like, that looks like, if they went Flashpoint, that's Batman there as Thomas Wayne.
The guy in the Nolan movies, he had a warm sincerity about him. And you bought him when he's talking about being the doctor in the hospital. He's like, oh, that's our family's money. Loved him. But this is a guy whose genetics could spawn someone who could potentially be the Bat.
I mean, your boy Heisenberg says he's 100% definitely Thomas Wayne. So comes from Heisenberg, then you have to know.
All right, well, you know, Heisenberg don't know.
Now, is it a matter of, hey, you know, we've worked together, you're my buddy, can I throw up your picture and, you know, painting like you? Or is it more than that? Is it a cameo?
Well, there have been a lot of rumors that they shot the death of the Waynes before. And that doesn't mean that it's another rehashing. But, like, you know, throughout the Batman mythology, if you've read Batman comics, you haven't gone through 10 without them flashing back to that fateful moment.
He wakes up sleeping and, oh, another nightmare.
It just always happens. It goes there. That's his motivating factor.
Right.
So it would be really cool to see. And I don't know if you're gonna Snyderize it and it's gonna be a full on action scene. He's gonna actually fight him off and then take two in the gut.
Is he just walking through Wayne Manor that's there, but it's him established in this universe, so when we do a solo Batman movie and they want to go with the parents, he's there.
Exactly.
Is it one of those Easter eggs or...
Yeah, I don't think we would drop this Easter egg and not have a cameo at some point down the line.
I think he's going to show up in Batman VS in some kind of scene, whether it's a flashback or Bruce as a child or something like that. But I would say, most likely, I would have to say for the death.
Yeah.
For the death scene. I'd say those are your best odds. But he's, you know, he's great. So now, Jesse Eisenberg... you know, the most... How would you describe Jesse Eisenberg as, like, a PR kind of guy?
He's a PR nightmare.
This is somebody where it's like, you cannot coach him. There's nothing you can do. He's so monotone. I don't dislike him, but I don't understand.
No, you don't dislike him because he's good.
It's weird.
If he was like a
kiddie actor, you'd be like, get this guy out of here. But he's like, what was that interview where he was, like, making fun of the interviewer? Like, was it during the magic movie he did?
But with
no
inflection, just like kind of
no sense of irony,
him.
Just very monotone. Right, he's a smart guy.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, a lot of times you get that. He has that smartest guy in the room kind of cockiness, which in this case, when he's supposed to be Lex Luthor, kind of goes all the way back around to being awesome.
It works.
Because I'm like, I hate you, but like, do I?
And I will say this from the beginning, this was the one guy, and I'm in love with this movie already, and it's not even out, but this is the one casting where I was kind of like, oh, I don't, in the beginning, I was just like,
Did the baldness help, though? Did you get there?
I hadn't even seen that yet, but I was just like, someone even did a Photoshop, and I was just like, I don't get it. But I'll tell you, the way he acts, and I'm like, it might work. Now everything you see a little bit more of, and you kind of hear a little bit more of who he is in the film.
Yeah, I think it's perfect casting. This interview was really strange, though.
Talk to me about it.
They said to him, like, what was the greatest challenge kind of thing? Was this challenging? And he was like, no, it was not challenging. It was inspire or something like that. Like, he wouldn't admit that any part of it was a challenge, but it was more of an opportunity.
Yeah. Now, in no way was he talking smack about the film or about the role. I don't want to give that impression.
No, the quote
It sounds awesome. Yeah, you have a quote.
Yeah, one of the quotes is, it's a really great character that's written by this guy, Chris Terrio. He's a phenomenal writer. He loves my character in the same way I love my character. He put a lot of work into it. It's a great character. There's an emotional core to the character. It's not the silly, villainous character.
Signed on, you know, probably signed on for X amount of pictures. He kind of knew what he was getting into based on what he's seen in the past. And then as he's working with the director and the script and the writer every day on set, he was like, fell in love with this character. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like the more and more he seems to love what he's doing.
Yeah. And I also think there's something to be said for, you know, an actor who's entering in this world, which, I mean, obviously your whole world is a lot less private. You're answering to all these fans. You're kind of setting up a boundary and saying, like, look, I don't know what kind of preconceived notions you have, but I'm an actor treating this like a role. It's not up to anybody's preconceived notion of Lex Luthor to satisfy. And there have been so many versions of him anyway. Like, it's not like he's the Red Skull where it's like, you
know. That's exactly what he says. His other quote was, the expectations that I have are never the same expectations that the audience has. I don't have expectations for myself. myself to adhere to comic book characters, but a lot of people are interested in how I could coincide with the comic book character, but it couldn't be further from my mind because I'm just playing a role, which is pretty much what you just said. Right.
And that's what he's making. I love that.
But believe it or not, that's what you want to hear.
Right. And it's not in that voice.
I hope it's going to be like a situation where Lex Luthor, to me, is a character I never really cared about. And I wasn't a Superman guy. So maybe seeing him, I fall like Wolverine with Hugh Jackman. I could care less about that character before I saw Hugh Jackman do it. And I'm like, man, I love him in that role. Yeah. And it made me like the character and want to read more about the character. So I hope it's something like that.
You could say that Gene Hackman isn't a real serious Lex Luthor. I don't care. I love him.
Yeah.
I love Gene Hackman in that role. Kevin Spacey, he didn't have the best, situation to work
with.
The guy from Smallville, he played that great. That was up and down and left to right, like Michael Rosenbaum. Like, he had to play, he was a great Lex Luthor.
What about good old John Shea on Lois and Clark?
Oh,
the handsome Lex.
Yeah, he was a very handsome Lex. Yeah.
Debonair.
Robert Love says, Lex is or will be a more evil than Mark Zuckerberg. So Lex is more evil, I guess, than Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, but he was a jerk in that film. Oh, what an asshole.
You know what I mean? And it's like in this modern day where like there are young internet billionaires.
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
what they are.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. They're just trying to ground everything in a world that makes sense. And I can't wait to see more. We haven't seen an image of him. Did we get a little bit of an audio in the BBS trailer? We did, right?
Yeah.
So asking if we should or not.
Everybody
we should wave
goodbye to Johnny. He says he has to bounce, but he thanks everybody for being on the squad and says, Roxy,
bye,
Adam, Mike, you're all so handsome. I was included in this.
Thank you, LaPlace. So good luck to you wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now.
Making people laugh.
Mission.
He's on another secret mission. So we're all in that camp. There's just too much agreeing right now for the first meeting of Kalinowski and Gertler. I know
a lot of you agreeing.
You thought there was going to be blood and fighting.
No,
it was going to be like a Dick Fundy situation. Nobody really thought that.
No.
But I was trying to put that out there. Speaking of villains in the DC universe. There was Jai Courtney, who's everyone's favorite actor, soon to be seen in Terminator Genisys. What do you think about that? Are you excited about Terminator?
I plead the fifth on that?
No, you saw it, didn't you?
No, I did not see it.
Okay,
I have some friends that are in Japan that have seen it.
Okay,
I wanted to give it I don't want to give it the benefit of the doubt. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'm not a big in the Terminator franchise. It's not my thing. I like three.
Yeah,
four.
But what about like one and two?
Of course, I love him. Oh my gosh, yes.
No, I'm with you. I've never thought that as much as I love Arnold, I always thought the star of that franchise is James Cameron.
Really?
Yeah. So it hasn't really done anything.
Just anything that shows. But then they do this whole little James Cameron puff piece by saying he loves it.
I'm
like, all right.
Anyway, this is a long way just to get to Jai Courtney, who is in a DC film, The Suicide Squad.
Okay, but here's the bummer about this all.
What?
You would barely even know he was in the film based on the questions that he's always asked by interviewers, which mostly is like, by the way, how's the Joker? Because that's what we want
to
hear.
Like, you need a guy like you guys to interview these guys on set, not these people. And I have friends that are reporters, and bless their hearts, and hosts. They try and go into these things, and they have to read in an hour to become experts. And it's come on.
You're absolutely right, but there's also something to be said for the fact that we're talking about his quote now, and if he was talking about his character, we'd be talking about it.
Right.
But it wouldn't have made as much news. It would be like, Jai Courtney talks about Captain Boomerang.
Right.
And in other news.
What percentage of people do you even think know that he's in this movie, let alone playing Captain Boomerang?
I feel bad for these actors on these, massive press events because they all want to know what the popular thing is, and it's a joke.
Right.
So that's what all they're going to talk about. He's like, I got this character I've been working on for, I've been working out for 6 months, and all right, we'll talk about Heath.
That being said, he actually said something really interesting about the Joker. So I'm going to go ahead. His quote was,
please do.
Tattoos? What did he say?
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Oh, excellent.
He said, I don't think any of us are naive to the pressure he's under. I haven't seen him since we started working out of character. Let's put it that way. So that would make us think that he is method acting this one through, which is a difficult kind of job to do when you've got this crazy Joker.
Granted, he's probably out of all of them under the most pressure because of what's come before him.
Of course.
But every actor in that group has got to be going through some stuff actor-wise. So it's like, good on him for not being able to all right, guys, answer another question. Here we go. But he's like, I think
he's certainly towing the company line too. I mean, look, obviously all these actors are going to be talking good about their impending films.
Right.
Of course.
But there's a lot of people that the excitement for Suicide Squad is building like the excitement of Guardians of the Galaxy did. Just the more people found out, the more people are like, I hear this thing, and it's looking really good. And we saw a couple of pictures of an amazing, the best looking Batman costume ever. on a car. Oh, ooh, did that get out? Oh, sorry. We'll put it away. Oops, I didn't know you were looking at my Batman. I'm sorry. Like, come on. They're seeding this thing, and David Ayer is making, like, a great film. And it's like, you know, people, if Jai Courtney's smart, they'll know his boomerang is great because he'll be great in the movie. Yeah. Then they'll be talking about him. Race, it's like, get in line, son.
Race Rule Z27 says, Courtney might not even have that big of a role in the movie. Do you think that's part of why he doesn't mind answering questions about the Joker, or what do you guys think?
I don't think so. I think they're all going to be, Will Smith will absolutely be top dog. And then you'll have everyone else have equal footing.
You can't, like I said, you just can't make like a headline on your webpage or newspaper or whatever it is, you know, by saying like Captain Boomerang. You know, if you talked about Jared Leto, you talk about the Joker, people will click on it.
I think best thing people should to get an idea for is watch Batman Arkham, Assault on Arkham.
Yes, yeah, we've talked about that many a time, and it's
that
great.
Is what we're going to be getting.
With just a Soussaint of Batman actually in it.
A Soussaint.
Yeah, just very a Soussaint of Batman. And oh my god, you just said Arkham, and I just like had a flashback, because I feel like in the next couple of hours, I'm really going to sink in there with Arkham Knight. And you know, it's still awkward. I had to make 300 sausages over the past 2 days by hand.
That's a lot of sausage.
It takes a long freaking time. There's too many. But
too many
so
sausages
I had the PS4. I couldn't...
The hands
I plugged it in.
The,
I could right. So
all there.
Last night I played it for like a little bit, fell asleep. Today I played it for a little bit more, but I'm just about to really dive into.
You'll get into
sucker.
It. I'm finally kind of like, now I know what I'm doing with it.
Can't wait.
I don't even know if you realize that you put your Batman voice on when you just went to the end of that. Dive into the sucker.
Oh, it's really awesome. I mean, they really do a good job of making you feel like the Batman.
Oh, they do.
Like,
yeah, the whole thing was to be the Batman, but you're just doing it. And like, I was fighting 20 guys, and you know, I'm starting to get my ass kicked a little bit. And then I was like. L1.
Yes, exactly.
There it comes in. And you can kick the guy in the air and shoots a concussion cannon at him.
Oh my god, I can't wait to do these things that you're telling me about. Like, the Batmobile comes in as the cavalry.
People are complaining, like, oh, it's a gimmick. I was like, no, the Rocksteady knows what they're doing. It's just another tool in his belt. It's not a big, huge, flashy thing. It's just like, hey, here's a battering. Hey, call in the Batmobile.
Yeah, it is. And honestly, it's like the rest of the game plays similar to the other games.
Oh,
so it is a really
similar.
Big, it's a big element, you know? It's like, you know, and that's really the biggest difference, I would say, right? I mean,
those guys
so
love
far.
The franchise. They knocked it out of the park.
I'm going back to Jai Courtney for one second.
Yeah,
because Dylan Esposito says, look, as long as Jai doesn't suck and take me out of the movie, I'll be perfectly happy because he's yet to do that, even that for me.
Oh.
Good point. I know I talked about this last time I was on, my friend. If you're listening to this, watch Jack Reacher.
Okay.
Watch Jack Reacher. He plays a jerk thug in it. And he was terrible in the Die Hard, another one.
How did you like him in Spartacus?
Loved him. Okay. That's the first time I saw him.
I love Spartacus.
Oh, thank God. Wasn't a fan
Spartacus
of
Spartacus, like, doesn't get as much love as it should. I mean, it is so epic and crazy. It
why do you say thank God? Because you're just excited you're on the same page as your
counterpart? Another person loves Spartacus. Yeah, okay. So good.
You guys are made for each other.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. You know, like, just the fighting, the violence, the
Katrina Law.
Oh, God. So much. They give you so much on that show. Anyway. So, in the world of television.
Oh. Yep. Are you going to do it with me?
I don't know it, but do it. I'll just give you the
Johnny, just... Johnny, I'm thinking of you at home. TV, 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 TV. Time, TV.
That was great. That was TV Time by Roxy Stryer.
I'm about to clap for myself, right?
No, it was great.
Nobody even joined in.
I don't know why. I'm like a real, like, stubborn older brother.
Yeah, you don't
get it.
I'm
a crotchety old man. Like, I'm not going to do that singing. I'm not singing.
You guys just don't understand. You don't get it. You don't get it.
Rumors of Hot Girl solo show have been greatly exaggerated, apparently.
So since last week.
What had happened with that?
So last week, we didn't even mention anything about it because the rumors hadn't even really started that much.
It's early this week.
Earlier this week, rumors blew up, and very quickly, she shut them down.
Okay.
So it came, and then it went, and now there's no news on that any further, except for it's not happening.
It almost seems like back when they brought Firestorm on Flash, like, oh, spinning off, I'm into his own show. I think it gets talk, like, network, you know, they're on set, and I don't even think they're filming, though. Because this is a mid-season replacement show, I think.
Legend of Tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't think it's filming yet.
Well, but they already had the trailer.
That was done just for that.
Really?
That 6-minute thing was done for the upfronts in New York.
Interesting.
Yep.
So all that stuff, the scenes, all that was just like...
I think that's in it.
Okay.
I think they're filming right now.
I don't think so.
Interesting.
Because there would be stuff being out on it. Those things are not very secret. But check, I don't think they're filming because it doesn't come out till January.
I thought they were.
So if they're coming out in January...
This could be our first fight!
No, because they won't film until...
Say they are filming.
I say no!
Kalinowski.
No!
I'm leaving the Batcave and I'm going to assume my own identity and go to a different city.
You're fired.
You can't fire me. I quit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was our cue. End scene.
But Master Bruce, you can't fire him. He's Robin.
That was really good. Oh my god.
We're mixing worlds, Batman, Robin, and
are
we
you
had
an actor or something?
No. Alfred's gonna cry if Robin has to leave the Batcave.
Oh, that is great. I could listen to that all day.
Okay.
You're gonna record my outgoing message as Alfred.
I think they won't start filming that till September.
Okay.
So and I think all that was done for... I mean, I think we're going to get that Vandal Savage and all that for the show.
Right.
But I think that was... Because they have to have the upfronts. That's where all the big advertisers come and WB sells their shows. So they had to put a sizzle reel up there. If they just said, here's our new show...
You think they'll be at Comic-Con?
Sorry. Yeah, they'll be they'll be there.
Andre Alves, and we have this actually we're going to talk about later, but let's just talk about it right now, that they just found their showrunner. So
okay. Oh, that's right. We are going to talk about that.
Right. And they announced who their showrunner was.
I guess that makes sense.
So
if they just got their showrunner, then maybe they're not running the show
yet. Well, they just announced who their showrunner was, so who knows how long they've had the
showrunner. And that showrunner is one Phil Klemmer.
Woo, woo, woo.
So Phil Klemmer has worked on. He's been in the Berlanti
camp. His unit, yes.
Berlanti, who by the way is like building a cottage industry. Like, what's going on with that guy?
I was just talking this the other day to a buddy of mine. Who he's a manager in the industry. I was like, they just need to take over the CW. Let it be the DC Nation. Mm-hmm. Like, just do it.
It's kind of almost there.
They're getting there.
It's like the reason I don't watch like Supernatural is because it's not like a superhero that I recognize.
11 seasons are going on. I didn't realize that.
It's just I've never seen it.
11? Wow.
11 years. It's like one of the longest running shows.
Watch it, love it.
Yeah, that's
but then I think they need to kind of phase out those shows and make it just a DC world.
It does seem like that's going on.
Steal Supergirl over.
Yeah, so Phil worked on the Tomorrow People, which also was...
Robbie Amell.
Which was Robbie Amell, who's going to be on this show. Says he works on Golden Boy and Political Animals, so he's got a little bit of a resume himself.
Yeah, I mean, I got to think, like, running a CW show, where does that fall in, like, the lineage of, like, show running, you know? I mean, it's
well, those Arrows and Flash, that's up there now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, people that want to... The quality of actor they're trying to get now on the show that they can get on that show, you know, like mm-hmm. people like Victor Garber.
Yeah.
You know, great, phenomenal actor, and they've got now locked into a series.
So, would you say that, like, overall, CW has kind of upped its brand?
Oh, of course.
The value of its brand, given the past year with, like,
Absolutely.
Flash.
Absolutely.
Even the amount of viewers they're getting, it's shocking.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, obviously,
you know,
that would be.
I have to say this, because I'm a little upset that.
Now, I'm not just talking about quality, but I mean, like, in numbers and dollars and cents, baby.
I feel bad for Arrow. I think that show. It's gotten eclipsed by Flash. Now this new show, a lot of fans, you could hear the talk, they say it lost its luster. I think season 3 was a weird season because season 2 was so high.
Three
was all over the place.
Once you bring in superpowers, it's hard to compete. Like, Arrow was cool because he was the DC guy that had a show. Once you bring in like a major name like Flash with powers,
and they're doing it right.
And they're doing it really well.
If it was bad, it wouldn't be a problem.
I agree. Like the heat is like right now. Like people are, let's say, some people say Flash, some people say Daredevil for like the two shows that are getting the comic book to TV thing right.
But when
so
Preacher
much.
Comes along, I think that they're going to be saying that.
Yes,
I'm still with Arrow. I love Arrow.
Yeah. Well, I think Arrow's going to have a good season. I think that they need to kind of get their ducks back in a row. And
he'll be Green Arrow this season. They'll move him back to that. And kind of like he said, I'm never putting on that Arrow suit again. I'm not Arrow ever again. Yeah, because you're going to put the Green Arrow suit on.
Oh,
yeah.
I see what you're saying.
That's what they're doing.
Well, now that you're speaking about Arrow, though, not to jump around too much, but I did find a Twitter question this week from ColdFire22, who disagrees with you a little bit on Arrow. They said, is CW going to ruin the Flash now with all the crappy romance stuff that ruined Arrow?
Well, that's a CW trait, you know.
It's you've got to, you know, it's the Pretty People Network. They have to have that romance, but they are getting away from it. Look at CW back during Smallville with that show. I mean, they tried, but they were so hampered. And now I think the higher ups are finally looking at what's selling.
I think this is one thing that I always say, and I repeat myself a lot about this, and it's just hard to tell 23 news stories every season. And you know, The Flash did have a great season, but I worry about these shows, like, moving forward. Like, it's just a lot to try to tell, and you spread yourself thin, and so they tend to fall back into these kind of cliches and tropes of shows, and then just to highlight, you know, an action
comic
scene.
Book.
But I feel like season 2
of Arrow... But comics only do 12 issues a year.
I feel like season two of Arrow was even better than season one of Arrow, though. So absolutely. I do think it's possible. But Dallas Jackson was agreeing with our other commenter saying Arrow was good until the whole love fest crap. Do we think that Flash might go down that path? I'm not saying it's a path that I would.
Well, weren't they? They're casting a new love interest on Flash, too. So it's kind of like you've got to have that. And there are certain demographics
but the comics
that love that.
Absolutely. No, it's the difference is when I feel like it goes into that CW place, and when I use that as a negative, I mean like when it feels overly soap operatic, and like what bothered me about the Arrow was just like I said before, it's like you establish such a great character when you tell me a guy is gone for 5 years and just training. Like I love that. That's like Conan pushing the wheel. Like that's like old boy being in a room for 15 years. He comes out, it's earned. Yeah. You feel it. So then when they have like these other like love interests and stuff like just showing up and also being like street fight worthy vigilantes on par, it just takes me out of them. Like, you kind of established the rules and now you're tweaking them a little too much.
Right. I just think that there is a way to do it. Like we mentioned Daredevil, Rosario Dawson's character. I don't think people were pissed off that she was on the show, but I think that...
That was a well-handled love thing. Yeah. They basically hooked up once and she's like, I'll fix you up. But I'm
right.
Not gonna,
but I think what people really were upset with Arrow isn't the fact that there is a love interest. It's what they did with Felicity's character. And I think people like the path. Big
thing. What do you mean? Like just making her like go Google over Brandon Routh and then back.
Yeah,
and
she was just like guy hopping because the guys took their shirts off and did salmon ladders.
Right,
so
and then
like,
she's like,
she's just strong, smart woman.
She's like, but it's Oliver. We have to save him over the planet. Like, no, she wouldn't say that. She's a really strong woman. I just don't think people like what they did with her character. But there is a way to have a kick-ass love interest. We just
and I'm not saying that shouldn't be a huge part of the series.
But I'll say this: they fixed Laura Lance. Her character, what it was season two with the alcoholism and this and that. I was like, oh my, this character. But they knew, the guys knew, we've got to get them together because that's who they end up with. We have to. And they, as much as I was cringing her becoming Black Canary, they handled it as best they could in 22 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, really I agree. But I mean, like, you know, it took me, no, who was the, which character was the original Black Canary?
In the comics?
No, in the
Sarah?
On the show. Sarah. So Sarah. So she's going to come back
Sarah
in the
Lance.
Legends of Tomorrow. So she's going to get like
Lazarus Pit.
Dip in the Lazarus Pit. Yeah. She comes back. That's, I mean...
It's good.
It
looks
said.
Great.
I mean, she even talked about how it affects people differently, the Lazarus Pit, and how she is now. So
yeah, but that's also what we saw Oliver's sister talk about, and we haven't seen her be affected at all.
We don't know yet.
Oh,
that's
why
the new season is coming up.
Well, we'll see. I'm still a huge Arrow fan, so this isn't me hating.
How are we doing? We've covered all of like our news stuff. Do we have other questions?
TV time. I will say though, speaking of TV time, there is a new awesome show.
Oh, do you have a new show? Wait a second. Let's go back.
Okay.
Everybody who's watching this, just like rewind 8 seconds.
Sorry.
Cut out that last part. Trim this. Back up. All right, we just finished talking about Arrow. Hey, you know, Roxy, did you have a new show you wanted to tell us about?
I had a seamless transition. I seamlessly transitioned into it.
What are you transitioning to what, Roxy?
To this new show called Dance Battle America. Our very own EP here and host of E!, Maria Menounos, is coming out with a new show on ABC called Dance Battle America. I don't know if you guys have been following, but over the holidays...
I think they're filming... At Universal. I think I've seen stuff about that.
Is that going on right now?
It's filming. I thought I heard about it.
I'll tell you guys how you can get involved. It's not going on quite yet, but
dance
it will
thing.
Be.
I can dance with the
we
stars?
Can dance?
Well, if you guys just wait a second and listen to me.
Well, I have
an
idea. Just put it this way. I have an idea what our theme is going to be.
If you haven't been watching these, they've been going on the little dance wars from all the holidays for the last couple years, and they do an amazing job. We've had so many different celebrities get involved. Even Cara Delevingne got involved and did her own little dance war. Amber Riley, all different people. So you guys at home.
What level of celebrity? Like,
Celebrity.
I'm excited.
What level celebrity?
That's celebrity.
Am I level D-plus celebrity level? Can I get in this?
No, people at home.
D-minus right here?
Anybody at home can try to do this. So you guys, we're looking for people to film their own little dances. Go to DanceBattleAmericaCasting.com to find out more information. But you guys can actually submit. And if you get selected, you'll be flown out to L.A. to compete on the show. It's really, really cool. Dance Battle America.
You have to be good dancers.
No, you can. People are doing it with their families, with their friends. friends. They're doing goofy dances. They're doing fun dances. All different kind of things.
So what happens? Will you get selected and will you be on the show? I mean,
if you get selected, yeah, you'll be on the show. Maria's producing it with Julianne Hough, and it's really, really, really going to be.
Is Maria going to be on the show? Is she going to be hosting it?
No, she's not hosting. She's producing.
She's just producing.
She's producing the show.
Why would they deny the world her presence? She's a great host.
She's a busy lady. She's busy. I'm sure she'll be able to make appearances here and there, but she's producing, so you know she's going to have a lot of say in the project. It's going to be really incredible. So if you're interested in getting involved, go to DanceBattleAmericaCasting.com, figure out how to submit your videos, and maybe win a chance to come out to LA and be on TV. On ABC. Really, really cool stuff.
That's fantastic.
Well, guys, if you have any specific ideas for what Mike and I should be working on for our dance,
we'll work on this
and we will shoot it and we will make, we're admitting to you in front of God and the world that we will make our dance battle video.
You know I don't like to be discluded. I don't understand why you do this to me.
You want to be in this dance?
Obviously, I want to be in the dance.
Well,
why
I mean, if we're appearing, you know, and I'm thinking we are taking, like, where I'm getting sort of like a Bill Dozier kind of vibe, perhaps, Roxy. Maybe.
We get Carrie Kelly over here.
I'm over both of you.
Interesting. Oh, interesting. And she is wearing a yellow right now. Yeah. It kind of does look at it. So you just,
I'm going to make my own one.
Okay, well, we're coming up with different ideas.
Yeah.
We don't know what it's going to be. Roxy's going to be in this dance, too.
Make a dance video.
Roxy's going to be in the dance. Don't worry. She's very sensitive. Okay?
I'm a Cancer. I'm a very sensitive person.
Aww.
So that's very exciting. Hey, guys, this has been so much fun. Do we have any other questions?
Yeah, we do.
Where does the time go?
I have questions. We're still... This is another TV question. I'm keeping TV time going. TV.
If you keep singing the song, then there'll be no time for questions.
At Creative Gregory says, hey, at DC Movies SK, by the way, that's our Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
In the DC TV verse, where is Metropolis, Gotham, Central, Coast, and National City located in relation to real world cities?
All right, I've always thought
interesting. Let me see what you think.
I've always thought Metropolis was New York, and that is because it was in the 70s movies.
It is New York, not is near New York.
Like, where New York exists? Well, I guess, does New York actually exist in the DC universe?
Yeah, it exists. So it's got to be.
Eastern Seaboard. I like.
It's in the Eastern Seaboard. That's a big difference because I've thought of Gotham and Chicago.
Yeah.
Great you know, which they actually shot there, like that way. Coastal City would be like San Diego.
I always thought it's like Central? Between Los Angeles and San Diego.
I guess,
It's a big California town.
Because it's more of a metropolis than San Diego.
Right.
But it's more beachy than Los Angeles.
I'll tell you, there's up in Santa Clarita, when I'm driving through that area, there's an area that reminds me of Coast City. It just looks like if they put a beach on one end of it, like an ocean, because it's got these mountains, but it's kind of deserty. That is what I see Coast City, but also it's got the city in the middle.
And by the way, at home, the fan art I would love to see this week is some geographic DC universe maps.
But everybody's Central City, Gotham, I say, is New like Midwest. Central City is in the middle of the country somewhere.
Kansas City.
Yeah.
We had 50 Gotham as New York. So what do you guys know that we do not?
I want to say it was Gotham Julie Schwartz. Julie Schwartz and some of those guys
Schwartz of DC Comics. Yeah,
they used to say New York is Metropolis, Gotham is Chicago.
Gotham is like a mix of Chicago and New York, Ninja
you
Panda.
You think crime, you think Al Capone, you think in Chicago.
They didn't even say when they created Gotham, it was a mix of Chicago and New York.
Sure.
They just took all those elements of them.
But Gotham feels like, you know, smaller for some reason. Like the way Batman owns Gotham, he's like, it's my city, my Gotham. You know, like Metropolis just feels like sprawling like New York. Like you need a guy that could fly
city
and cover the whole thing.
City of tomorrow.
What other cities? What are we missing?
National City, which I don't know.
Toronto.
A lot of people are saying, in Canada, Toronto. No joke, people are saying that. But then
I don't know why.
Kyle says, no one wants Metropolis. Everyone wants New York. Okay.
Well, you're confused.
What is National City? What comic is that?
What is that?
I don't know. I think that...
that's one I've never heard of.
That is...
So my friend, you stumped me. Who wrote that one?
Who lives in National City?
Creative Gregory. You stumped me, buddy. I know Hub
Gregory
City,
James.
Which is the question.
And then what about... Fawcett City? What about Nightwing City?
Bloodhaven.
Oh, yeah.
That's New Jersey. Well, see, because it's got to be... Cause
the Jersey Devils you're thinking
Jersey
about?
Jersey to New York, with New York being Gotham.
Right.
Bloodhaven's very close to Gotham.
I feel like it's like Buffalo.
Okay. All right, so then it could be Michigan. Chicago is Gotham.
Yeah.
Buffalo, that area up in the Great
Gotham
Lakes.
Gotham is the Bronx. Metropolis is Manhattan.
So you know, you think Bloodhaven could be like Michigan? Is that what you're saying? Detroit.
Detroit, that's what Detroit? Somebody just said.
Oh,
you stole
Detroit.
It.
Detroit. Detroit. Bloodhaven is so Detroit.
Not too many fans of anyone in Detroit, but yeah, Detroit.
Bloodhaven. Yeah,
I picture Bloodhaven. As bad as Gotham is, Bloodhaven is even freaking worse.
Yeah.
Bloodhaven
Where's
is worse.
National City? Who
Scott
is
McDaniel.
City?
Scott McDaniel, the artist, when he drew that original Nightwing series, the way he drew Bloodhaven with the smoke coming out of all these pillars and it formed this ring around the city, it's beautiful.
Okay, they didn't ask about Starling, but what do you guys think about Starling City?
Star City. I don't call it Starling City.
I'm sorry.
That from season one of Arrow bugged me. I don't know if it
Apparently.
Was a... I just don't know if the guys just didn't realize what it was and it just read on the script and it just went through... But it's Star City. Why change that?
So what? Yeah,
they think Starling City's in California. Sorry, Star City.
Seattle,
San Francisco,
Seattle.
Okay.
Now they say Boston. You guys are awesome, and I can't keep up.
It's tough because the real cities do exist in the DC universe aside from because Green Arrow spent time in Seattle.
Bloodhaven is Baltimore. Okay,
so
I'm going to move on.
But Marvel exists in the real world. Like Marvel,
they
is
don't
all,
have fake
you
cities
know.
Except for
so that's why
fake countries.
If you guys want to participate in the conversation any further, leave a comment below, and we'll make sure we
Twitter
read them
me.
All for
yeah,
next.
I love talking about
Twitter
it.
Twitter you.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Twitter me, and we can talk smack about Mike Kalinowski behind his back publicly on Twitter.
Metropolis is in Kansas. Oh my gosh.
Just make sure you tag me.
Is in Tibet. Okay. This is coming from the chat. Theo Kabbalah 89 says, most important question, who dies? This is when we were talking about Suicide Squad, so I'm assuming it's squad question.
I'll say Jay Hernandez is dead, and the guy playing Slipknot is dead.
El Diablo?
El Diablo and Slipknot, dead.
Yeah.
You're not putting any of the main squad?
No.
What about, like, King Shark? I feel like one of those guys might go down. And too cool a character?
I don't know.
What if you had to pick one of the main cast members?
Slipknot or El Diablo?
No, who's playing Slipknot?
That's not main enough. That's not close enough.
Jay Hernandez. Not Jay Hernandez. Adam Beach. Adam Beach.
Okay. Yeah, those are...
He's done.
Most likely, like, those are your red shirts right there.
Yeah, exactly. Stick a red shirt on them. They're done.
There's definitely going to be some people going down in
of
that
course.
Movie. So.
The team will... Some of the guys... Joker will kill a couple
Do
of
you
them.
Have an opinion? Because El Mayimbe seemed really convinced that Suicide Squad takes place before Batman v Superman.
I absolutely think that
And
does.
You think that too?
Absolutely.
Really?
And I'm curious because I think the Affleck movies might take place before Batman versus Superman.
I kind of hope
not, there
they
was
don't.
A rumor. But yeah, I
don't
because
know.
Because they might have... To avoid then, Batman's in trouble... Why doesn't he call the rest of the league? Like, all the Marvel movies suffer from that immensely. I'm sorry,
right.
Marvel, if you're connecting movies, but Iron Man, you're stuck in Nevada. You can't call Thor. Hey, Thor, can you come? I got my armory. Can you come move a boulder off my armory so I can get all my suits?
Right.
At least this way, Batman's the kind of guy that go, no, I'm not calling you. Don't come here. I don't need your help. Stay away. I've got it.
Maybe that's why in the New 52, I was, like, annoyed by the fact that in every Batman comic, there's, like, a million other people there. I'm like, I like Batman.
So I think they might do prequels, but Suicide Squad is definitely before Batman versus Superman.
Definitely?
Absolutely.
I don't think that was official.
I'm going to go with El Mayimbe on that.
Wow.
Going
okay,
before.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just so surprised by everybody's overt
It's
going to
be weird for the normal movie-going audience.
Then to me, and he also seems convinced about the Doomsday thing, but I feel like that introduction of Aquaman's hand, that does make sense. Mm-hmm. And then him being like a major threat in Batman v Superman. I like that idea, but we'll see.
We'll see.
He says Doomsday. You think it's Doomsday? What do you think?
I tried this to talk about this last time with the villain. I have no idea.
You don't even have an opinion. Does your gut tell you anything?
Doomsday. With something with Kryptonian DNA from Zod's body.
Could be.
Luther's got a vault, cryo storage down somewhere with all the Kryptonian stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it'll be a pretty epic fight. I would like to see Zack Snyder.
The current Justice League comic that's going on right now when Luther joined the League and Bruce is like, all right, show me your office. And he takes him downstairs. He's like, no, I want to see your real office. And he goes, how do you know about that? He's like, you just told me. It's brilliant. Bruce and Lex have this one-upmanship in the current run of the comics that's brilliant.
Did you read the new Chappie Batman comic?
Chappie Batman. I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't even know. I have a stack at home I haven't been able to get to.
I got to that. I haven't read
Scott
any of the
Snyder,
Convergence one, but
I trust him implicitly. Yeah. I love his work ever since the beginning. Met him at Comic-Con last year. Fantastic guy. I'm with him. I'm on board with whatever he does.
So cool.
I'm sorry, we left you out.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm going to move on to some more chat questions.
Pretty girl. Okay. Well, are we going long? I feel bad. I mean,
okay, so great. We won't ask any more questions, but I do want to say on our YouTube, Brian Mullen asked us if he would give a shout out to his son Landon for his birthday. So shout out to Landon. I would have to assume his last name would be Mullen. And then he said, Batman can't be beat. ... in coolness, so we love him.
Absolutely. I'm on board with him. Happy birthday, Landon.
Happy birthday, Landon, and I hope you enjoy that special edition PS4 that your dad got you. You got it for you, Landon. It's there.
Oh, my.
Enjoy it, Landon.
Okay, enjoy. We'll save the rest of these questions for...
Landon could be three. I mean, who knows?
Breaking hearts today.
Oh, my God.
No, Dad, let me know. I know you got it.
He's going to tear the house apart.
Where is that PS4? You don't
have said you got me a PS4, and now I don't.
Well, is there anything else we need to get to?
No, I'll save the rest of the questions for next time.
Okay, thank you so much.
I don't want to leave.
I hope you enjoyed this first ever meeting of Kalinowski and Gertler and Roxy Stryver's here too. I am Adam Gertler. You can find me on... I just felt her daggers go get me. Oh, we love you so much.
The people in the chat were pissed.
Do bang cat to make your... Do bang cat. Give us a bang cat.
I love watching you guys meet. Guys, sometimes
to piss in your mouth. I mean, litter box.
Do you know what would make me really happy? If we close out with a little TV time song. Just saying.
Okay, thanks for everyone for joining us. I'm Adam Gertler. You can find me at Adam Gertler.
I'm Roxy Stryer.
You can find me at Roxy Stryer.
And I'm Mike Kalinowski. You can find me at Mike Kalinowski.
We'll see you next time! DC Movie News, not the new TV time! Just say goodbye!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.